Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chester Wieger actually served 6 decades in jail for the murder of 3 women. Actually, I think one of them was the conviction that sent him to jail. He has since been paroled. He is still, quote unquote, convicted, though he is free now. His attorney, Andy Hale, a civil rights specialist in wrongful convictions, joins us on WGN. Andy, thanks for your time today. I guess some congratulations are in order, huh?
Yeah, let me first say they are. Thank you. We've got some DNA results back recently that I think prove Chester Wieger had nothing to do with the Starbuck murders. And I also wanted to say I've got a Bill Russell autograph ball in my office at home. About 5 years ago, he was at the Rosemont Convention Center for a sports convention. Out of all the people in there that you could get autographs from, me and my son, I said, Bill Russell, That's the line we're going to get in. And I got that ball today.
Well, what a nice memento and a rare one at that, huh?
Yeah. But getting back to your question, yes, we got DNA results back. We presented them in court yesterday, and I think it's a giant step forward for us in our pursuit for justice and for Chester Wieger.
Well, I'm a little confused by that. That is, in 2 different instances, DNA has surfaced that isn't Chester Wieger's. I'm trying to remember what it was. Was it hair and something else?
So there's only been one DNA result, which is hair. There was a report from 1960, a similar hair that they found was dissimilar to Chester Wieger. But this is the first time we've actually gotten a nuclear DNA profile on anything, you know, a full male DNA profile on a hair found on the left index finger of one of the victims, which is Frances Murphy. And significantly, that was the finger. She had the tip of her left finger cut off post-mortem. There were hairs on that finger of her glove, and we were fortunate to be able to get a full male profile from one of those hairs, and it is not Chester Wieger's DNA.
My understanding is you're now going to sample that or ask it to be sampled against other known DNA profiles to see if it matches somebody, and we might at least have the identity of another person with whom she had contact. But how does that exonerate your client? So there's a hair from somebody else. Maybe there were 2 killers. Or maybe it was just a random hair. How does that mean that Chester didn't kill her?
Those are all good questions. Let me kind of take them one at a time. So the story, you know, the Chester Wieger is guilty story is that, you know, he was a lone guy, a lone killer on his break who bludgeoned these 3 ladies to death and allegedly went back to work. If you want to now argue that there was somebody else there, you're now changing the entire narrative in the entire story, which I really don't think you can do. The second thing is, it's such a significant hair where it's found. It's definitely related to the crime. It's not a random hair. These women were bludgeoned. It was a brutal crime scene. And there were multiple hairs found in this location. So I think it's pretty clear it was related to the killers. In fact, so much so that in 1960, the state took one of these hairs from the left index finger of Mrs. Murphy, sent it to the Washington University Medical Center to be analyzed. But the third point, which is the most important one, is this DNA result collectively with everything else I've uncovered, and I explain all this on my podcast, The Starbuck Murders with Andy Hale, everything together now makes an overwhelming case that Chester Wieger is innocent.
Steve Stout, who wrote a book about the Starbuck Murders, was on with us yesterday and said that the evidence is tainted. So many people have had access to it. He said it could have been his hair. He handled some of these artifacts. What do you say about the sort of preservation of the evidence?
Well, he's wrong. We had an evidence inspection. You know, Will County, State's Attorney's Office, is on the other side. We had an evidence inspection. We spent 2 days photographing all the evidence. It was all organized, labeled. We presented it to the court. The court agreed there was no contamination issue, et cetera, allowed us to proceed. This is a hair as well. It was all labeled, put in envelopes, and there is the integrity of the evidence is intact. So there's nothing, there's no issue with that.
So then who killed those women?
So I'll tell you what, if you listen to the bonus episode number one of my podcast, I had a woman reach out to me recently and told me a story that her grandfather was in the mob. She lived with him, and on her deathbed, he told her that he knew Chester, the guy in prison was a patsy because he handpicked the five or six men that went down to Starved Rock to kill. The mission was to kill one lady because one of the husbands wanted his wife killed, and all three had to be killed. Now, I don't have to prove who actually did it. I just have to prove Chester Uyghur didn't do it, but I do want to prove who did it because I want to put it to bed once and for all.
All right,
Andy. I'll give you one other tip. In episode 7 of my podcast, we have a 2-page police report where a telephone operator overheard two men talking about the murders and a guy that had bloody overalls in the trunk of the car. Those people are involved. They know who did it. I'm trying to figure all that out as well.
Andy Hale is the civil rights attorney representing Chester Uyghur, who is out, and Hale says exonerated now. It'd be interesting to see if we find a DNA match from that hair down the road. So let's have our next conversation then, Andy. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. I look forward to continuing the conversation.
I hope so.